My subject this morning is the question, what is man? What is man? The psalmist asks this question twice, but there are two different words that are used in the Psalms, and I'm not going to go into the Hebrew on those, but I'm using Psalm 8 and verse 4 as a text. Just those three words, what is man? If we ask that around us, particularly to those who are highly educated, we will get many different answers. It will be interpreted in many different ways. But the Bible tells us quite clearly what man is. If you'd like to go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, there we have what God said about man. The first book of the Bible, the first chapter of the first book, and verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said, let them be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. There's a lot in those four verses. Firstly, God said, and you've heard me tell before that everything that God did in Genesis chapter 1, he did by saying it. God said, light be, and there was light. Words are creative. And I have spoken on the subject of the power of the word. Every word counts because words are creative. And God said, let us make the animals, let us make the fish, let us. And God said, let us make man in our image. Some of us will think of an image being something which is worshipped, an idol. In the image of, in the likeness of. You see, when God was creating in Genesis chapter 1, he saw something, he got an image of it, and then he created it. But when we come to verse 26, we find it is rather different. God didn't get the impression of something that could swing from a tree, or something that could walk on either two or four. God said, let us reproduce ourselves. That is the word that God was using here. Let us reproduce. For God made man. And by man, this morning, every time, I mean mankind. Because we read, didn't we, that he said, I will make them male and female. He's talking about mankind. Let us reproduce And God made man in his likeness, in his image. And if you want me to tell you where I'm going to end this morning, although this isn't the end, the fact is that the only difference between you and I and God is that he put within us the need for him. That is the difference. Because God said, I will make you in my image and in your likeness. He said that again with Noah. I think it's in Genesis chapter 8. God made us in his likeness, and he said, have dominion. Have dominion. We are to rule over. To rule over means to take responsibility for. That there be nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing malfunctioning. That by the power of the word, we may reproduce. We may take dominion over. You see, the Bible gives us the dimensions of the Garden of Eden. It had limits. It had boundaries. And God sent man to go and to reproduce the Garden of Eden. His intention was that the whole earth be as the Garden of Eden. We know from the words of Jesus in John chapter 4 that God is spirit. Now stay with me. God is spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. The question that we started with is, what is man? If man is made in the image and the likeness of God, and God is spirit, therefore I contest that man must be spirit. You and I this morning, we are spirit. We need a body to function. And we have feelings. We have emotions. We have a soul. The soul which is composed of our reasoning faculties. Before the fall in the garden, during his fellowship with God, man's spirit ruled him. Man was ruled by his spirit. That was God's intention. Because the Bible says that spirit communicates with spirit. And if you were under the impression, as I once was, that the Spirit of God communicates with the mind, the Bible doesn't tell us that anywhere. It says spirit communicates with spirit. And you and I are spirit. And for us to have knowledge, whether it be from school, from college, from university, from Bible college, or wherever, that is human knowledge. That is the brain. God's intention was for man to be controlled by his spirit. Because spirit communicates with spirit. When Adam was ruled by his spirit, his senses were subject to his spirit. But We all know that Adam sinned. Adam broke off that relationship with God. The Bible says that he died spiritually. He died. The man, the spirit man, died when he sinned against God. God cannot have communion with sin. His spirit then received the nature of the adversary. It became subordinate to his senses. Man's spirit was cut off from the Spirit of God. Up to that point, God's Spirit was leading him by divine revelation. And that was God's intention forever and ever. But when he sinned, he lost the contact, the communion of that divine revelation. And he was subject to his senses. And Adam had to rely upon his senses. He had to rely on his feelings, lest he touch something that was too hot. He had to rely on his senses, lest an animal be coming for him. He had to rely upon those senses. We all know that we have five senses: seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and feeling. These are not the man. These are servants of man. And if we don't understand what is man, then we cannot understand fully God's plan of salvation. We were made in the image and likeness of God. God said, "Let us make man a reproduction of himself." The psalmist said, "Are we not all gods?" With a small g. We are a reproduction. But at the fall, we lost that divine revelation and had to rely upon the five senses. And every university, college, and school has to rely upon those five senses, because the brain won't function without the five senses. I am told, and this is rather deeper than what I was used to understanding, I'm told that if you don't have five senses, you are described as an imbecile. The brain won't function without seeing, hearing, feeling, smelling, tasting. It doesn't function. There is another subject that time doesn't allow us to go into tonight, into this morning, that the mind and the brain are not one and the same. We can educate the brain, but God wants to bring revelation into your mind and my mind. The communion of spirit with spirit that feeds the mind. E.W. Kenyon, a well-known author of about a century ago, he once wrote that until your spirit gains the mastery over your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. Let me repeat that. Until your spirit gains the mastery over your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. I find, in my experience, that my senses are a hindrance to faith. I would say that my senses are a stumbling block to my faith. My senses want to be able to see, to believe. My spirit wants to believe that it may see. You see, the human nature puts the cart before the horse, as they say. We get things upside down, back to front, inside out. God said, let them have dominion. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. He wasn't just talking about babies, as so many have thought. When he said fill the earth, he meant reproduction. God had created things. He wanted us to continue reproduction. Our words are creative. Even nature has ears. Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it died. Jesus spoke to a tempest at sea and it obeyed him. Our words are meant to replenish, to be fruitful, to multiply. Because God intended that this whole earth be as the Garden of Eden. God intends for you and I that have been born again to bring back God's reign on earth. You see, it could be phrased or described that Adam was born again in the garden. He was born into the old nature. He was born into the sinful nature. Our New Testament talks about the old man and the new man. It talks about the man of the inner self. See, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But mankind, whether you are a man or a woman, you are spirit, because God is spirit. Conscience is the voice of the spirit. Reason is the voice of the mind, and feelings are the voice of the body. If we are living in the old man, if we have not been born again by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and resurrection of Easter Day, we are living in the world of the old man. The old man is educated by his senses. He has to live by his senses, because he does not have fellowship with God. God cannot fellowship with the old nature, with the Satan-controlled nature. Paul, the apostle, once was speaking to King Agrippa. And Paul declared that I lived in all good conscience. Now, how could he say that when he had been responsible for the murder and the martyrdom of Christians? And then he turned to King Agrippa and said, I lived in all good conscience. I'll tell you why. Because his conscience was seared. It was affected by the old man. It was spiritually dead, in harmony with Satan. The old nature. And as I said, that conscience is the voice of the Spirit. His conscience was okay with killing people. As we hear of people almost every day in the news today, of some people who can, without conscience, take the lives of other men and women that they call imbeciles. It's because the conscience is controlled by the old nature. It is in harmony with Satan. Your and my conscience needs to be controlled by the Spirit of God. For God is love. God is love, the Bible says. The mind is not the real man. Sometimes we think that a man is the full, total sum of what his mind is. Oh no. Mind can be educated. It can be brainwashed. It can be indoctrinated to think that it's okay to murder. To think that it's okay to steal. That it's permissible to rape. The mind is not the real man. The real man was described by Paul when he wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation. That's what Jesus did for us. The divine exchange. He took our old nature that Adam inherited in the garden, that we might have his new nature. That the old man might become the new man. Can I ask you this morning, where is your old man? Has your old man come to the cross with Jesus and been crucified, dead, and buried, that you might have the new life in Jesus Christ? That you might be a new creation? Old things passed away. Paul said, put on the new man and put off the old man. Friends, this morning I want you to understand that we cannot live with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work. It can't work. I don't mean in the world as of the geographical place. I mean the world's rule, the old man, the old nature, relying upon our senses. our mind needs to be renewed. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Every day that I live, I say, Father, I thank you that I give the choice this, make the choice this morning to let the mind of Christ be in me. That I will think the thoughts that he would think. I will not live by my senses. I will not allow my reaction to be from my senses. We can either act according to the word of God or we can react according to our senses. You may think that this sounds complicated. It isn't. It's very simple. Man is spirit because he was created in the likeness of God. And your spirit is either the old man that Adam brought upon the earth through sin, or you have been born again to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old has gone and the new has come. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus died for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, he didn't say, I'll choose one over there and one on the back row, and one on the fourth row, and two on the second row. Not at all. He said, whosoever, whosoever. This morning, we're either living in the old nature, or we're walking in harmony with the Spirit of God. I quote E.W. Kenyon again, until your spirit gains the mastery over your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. In closing, I want to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. If you go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. It is difficult to break in the middle of a discussion. Chapter 10. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He's talking to the born again. He's talking to the believers here, those who have been reborn. Verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the man who has not been reborn, the natural that comes from the womb is sinful by inheritance. Yes? We never had to teach any of our children to stamp their feet, to fight, to argue. They inherited that in their nature. They must have got it from their father. It was in their genes. It was the old and the natural man. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible makes things very clear when we look at them from the right perspective. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because, why? Because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. They come through the Spirit, not through the natural senses, not through the mind. Because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. But we have the mind of Christ. If you're born again this morning, if you're a new creation, you have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. Am I speaking to someone this morning? For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Where is your old man this morning? Is he dead and buried? Have you been born again? Have you got communion with the Spirit of God? In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, prior to Easter Day, man could not see God. Even Moses, who was called a friend of God, had to veil his face as God passed by him. Because of the old nature. Because his spirit was separated from the Spirit of God, he could not have communion with God direct. But this morning, you and I have the opportunity to have direct communion with God if we've been born again. If the new nature is in us. The new nature. The new man reigning in your heart. Put off the old man and be born again this morning. Let the Spirit of God train your mind. God has given to us our five senses to be our servant, not to be our master. We are not ruled by what we see. I tell you, I am ruled by what I read in here. And if the Bible says that by his stripes I am healed, I believe it and I am healed. Not because I feel like it. Not by my senses, but by the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God says that I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because of my senses, not because I feel comfortable, but because the Bible says so. And I have proved through all my life and days, the Bible has always been true. It has stood the test of time. If you want to live in faith this morning, today, and for the rest of your life, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Until your spirit gains the mastery over your senses, your faith will never be strong and vigorous. Shall we pray together?